In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today begins just a little differently than I normally would. Today I need your help. Today I need your participation. I need you to raise your hand if the statement is true. I promise, I will not ask anything pressing, embarrassing, or revealing, okay? They're very easy questions, so I ask for a straightforward, easy response. All right, so how many of you love your families? Yeah, right? Why wouldn't we? How about this? How many of you love your friends? Easy enough, you should, of course. It's a gift from the Lord. How many of you love getting together with people and just sort of enjoying life? Maybe that's having fun playing cards. Maybe that's swimming. It's archery. It's gardening. It's camping. It's fishing. It's going shopping. It's watching a movie. It's playing golf. It's taking a walk or simply listening to music. I do. I know. I could summarize it like this. How many of you basically love life? How can you not, right? God gives us so many good gifts. And I would venture a guess that if most of us were given the choice, we would choose life instead of death, right? Fair enough. Now, one question on the other side of the fence. Again, nothing embarrassing, no comments need to be made. But how many of you ever made a really bad choice, a choice that you thought was going to be good, but it really ended up just being bad and sinful and evil? I know I have, right? At some point in our lives, we have. And here's the thing. That's because sometimes appearances, man, they can be deceiving. Sometimes you think you're choosing one thing, but you're actually choosing and getting something else. Sometimes when you think you are choosing life, you are actually choosing death. That's what happened to the Israelites from our reading for this morning. God had freed the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery. He had protected the Israelites from Pharaoh's army on the Red Sea. He had provided them quail and manna from heaven that they may eat and not starve and die. He had just led them to the promised land there where they were able to see the land that he swore that they would inherit. They had just arrived, and then the Lord commanded them to go up and to take possession of it, to fight against the Ammonites. And the Amorites, they were false idolaters, and the wages of sin is death. So fight against them, take the land, take possession of them, and I will be with you. But do you remember Israel's response to all of this? They said something like this. Oh, that we would go back to Egypt! That was their response. They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to risk going into battle because they knew that some people would die. So what do? They choose not to fight. They choose not to die in battle. They choose to run. They choose to live. Or so they thought. What they actually chose was to disobey God. And as a result, God cursed them to wander 40 years in the wilderness until almost every one of them died off. Yeah, sometimes when you think you are choosing one thing, you are actually choosing something else. It would be easy to sit there, to stand here, and to criticize God's people of old, Israel, and say, how could you be so stupid? Why didn't you just go up? You know, Israel. But honestly, we have this happen to us all the time. Think about it. How many times a year, how many times a month, how many times a day, how many times an hour or a minute do you find yourself thinking you're going to choose one thing, but actually choose something else? You're going to choose to feel better, right? You're going to choose to feel better by letting off steam and by yelling or making some sort of extreme and obscene gesture or call someone a name because they cut you off in traffic, because your children will not listen to you, because your spouse or your friend says something or did something to you that hurt you, or because you don't see eye to eye with that person, and so you're going to let off some steam. Here's your chance. But you actually are choosing to hurt, harm, and kill your neighbor with your tongue. those whom God has given you to love. You think you're choosing to love family members and friends, to keep them in your life by not talking about the sins that you see in their life or the unbelief that you know is in their heart. You don't want to lose them, and so you best not talk about religion. You think you're choosing your family and to keep it, but in all actuality, what you are actually choosing is to simply deny our Lord and His Word and not love them, but just gloss over their sin and allow them to end up in eternal hell and destruction. You're consigning them to it by being silent. You think, you know, you're going to choose to relax a little bit, to enjoy life. I'm not going to do my homework, man. I'm not going to do that at all. I'm going to play phone games, right? Games on my cell phone. And I'm not going to help around the house. I'm going to procrastinate at work a little bit. I'm going to speed because we all know I need to make up that time and get there when I need to get there. I'm going to speak poorly about my government because they seem to be bumbling buffoons, and it doesn't matter who gets in office. They always seem to be bumbling buffoons in our eyes. And so we're going to speak about those things. But the truth is, figuratively speaking, you are doing little more than spitting in the face of God's representatives and breaking the fourth commandment. You think you're going to save yourself some time and some money, even physical injury, you know, by not standing up for people that are being picked on, right? Or anything like that, abused or harmed, or even, you know, stopping and helping that person who needs clothes and food. You're going to save some time on this one. But by your actions, you and I are doing little more than wishing them hurt, harmed, or dead by starvation or freezing to death. Or sadly, you are remembering. You are remembering, you are struggling, you are sorrowing over a difficult decision you had to make in your life, trying to get your own life back after a mistake. You know, so you try to get that life back in a variety of ways. It could be contraception from preventing implant. It could be abortion. It could be a morning after pill. And you are struggling with it, and you are remembering that. Or you're struggling or remembering the end-of-life decision you had to make. Did I put in the feeding tube, or should I not put in the feeding room? Should I take him off the ventilator? Was that the right thing to do? Was it too early? Should I have done more? Did I give up too soon? Sometimes you think you're choosing one thing, you're choosing something else. But you know this, in the midst of our good-intentioned, death-filled choices, we hear the word of Deuteronomy 30 today. I have called heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life. And you remember that it was Jesus himself who chose to set this life before you. It was Jesus who chose to give you life. But before he did that, he first had to endure the bad and the evil. He had to be laughed at and mocked and spit upon. He chose to give his head over that it may be crowned with those thorns, his back that it may be torn apart with the whips, his hands he allowed them to be stretched out and have nails driven through them for you. And as he's hanging on that cross, the words of others fill him as they watch him die. They fill his ears. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. He saved others. Let himself save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one. And you hear Jesus crying out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it looks like Jesus is going to choose life and come down from that cross. But then as he looks toward heaven, you hear those words. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus bows his head and he chooses death. Jesus chooses to die. Ah, but you see, sometimes when you think you're choosing one thing, you're actually choosing something wholly different. Jesus himself gave up his spirit. He died upon that cross so that you and I will live. So that there is nothing, not angels, not demons, not height, not depth, not even our own sin that will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus chose to undergo death that you might live and that you might be free, that your sins might be paid for in full, so that today you could be looked at by God in mercy and in love and not in wrath, so that God can look upon you and say, yes, I know what you have done, and here's what I have done for you. I have loved you unto death, even death upon the cross, and so I still love you. And I've paid for every single one of those sins. And so today I forgive you all of your sins, even those most burdensome sins that you have been carrying around and that have haunted you on your shoulders. I forgive you your sins of anger and malice and hatred and slander and bitterness with the tongue and murder. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you those times when you denied me before men. They will not separate you from my love. I forgive you those sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I forgive you for trying to prevent the gift of life, the gift of a child, either by preventing implantation or abortion or a number of other things. I forgive you for that deep guilt and sorrow you feel over the feeding tube or the ventilator. I forgive you all of these, my dear children, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed every one of those sins from you this day. They shall not plague you. They shall not befuddle you. They shall not weigh you down. Here is my yoke. Here is my rest. Here is my life. And because of Jesus, you stand before your Father this day in heaven, holy and pure, without spot and blemish and wrinkle or stain. You have peace with God, and you have peace with your fellow man. And when Jesus rises on the third day, he rises with that eternal life and healing in his wings, in the palm of his crucified and risen hand, so that those words of Deuteronomy, they ring out in our ears. It is here that Jesus shows you the life that he has chosen for you, the life that he gives you. For I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In baptism, God chose you. And he chose to give you that life. He marked you with that cross on your forehead and on your heart. He gave you that spirit, that faith, that forgiveness of sins. And today he clothes you yet again with that robe of his own righteousness that covers all your sins. It is here where our Old Testament reading begins for today. The Israelites from this morning's reading, they began with forgiveness. They too had been forgiven of their bad, death-filled choices of not going up and fighting the Amorites to take possession of the land. After 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, they are standing at the banks of the Jordan River, waiting to enter the new life, waiting to enter that land that God had promised them. And Moses speaks those words about the heart turning away and not hearing, but being drawn to other gods. But God speaks these words as well, that I have set before you a blessing and a curse, life and death. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may dwell in the land, loving your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and he is your length of days. In essence, Moses is just simply saying this, right? You are God's children. He loves you. He forgives you. And as you enter this land, fight against the temptation to sin and to choose death. Fight against it and know that it is the Lord who fights with you and who fights in you to do according to his goodwill. Well, the same thing he tells the Israelites is the same thing that is true for you and I today. Jesus chose to die so that you and I live. He is the Lord of life. In baptism, God made you his beloved child. He has forgiven you all your sins. And as a baptized child of God, you and I now fight against making those bad, sin-filled, evil choices. By God's grace, by God's mercy, by God's Spirit, we choose life. And God's promise to you is this, that no matter what circumstance of life you face and where you find yourself, he is with you always. He loves you, he forgives you, he upholds you with his righteous right hand. Dear saints of the living God, dear beloved children of God, you choose life whenever your faith is strengthened and renewed. You choose life when you come here to church to hear God's word, to receive his very body and blood. You choose life whenever you prevent yourself from lying and cheating and being lazy, continuing in your sin. You choose life when you choose to honor your father and your mother, to submit to authorities. And you most certainly choose life when all of those sins and failures weigh you down on your shoulders yet again, and you either come here or you come to my office to confess those sins and to have God look upon you in mercy and life, saying, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of Christ by his authority, announce the grace of God unto you. In the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That's God's word to you. That's what you hold fast to. That's what you cling to. You can hold fast to Jesus. He is the Lord of life, who was, who is, and who is to come, who will continue to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Now and forever. Amen.